Mark chapter 5, we'll commence to read at verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, for those who like to study the Word of God, that word "immediately" is actually linked with the next statement, immediately turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest a multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this deed. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Now Matthew, in writing his gospel, takes up the same story, but he gives us one little detail that Mark doesn't give us. We want to just look at that detail. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9 and verse 20. "Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched." This is the part that Mark doesn't tell us. Mark tells us that she touched his clothes, but Matthew tells us that she touched the hem of his garment. Now we know that God will bless the reading of his word. I want to look at the short account of this dear woman that we've read of in Mark's gospel, and make an application in the gospel meeting tonight. We read, first of all, about this certain woman, that she had an issue of blood 12 years. In other words, this woman has been suffering with this affliction, this disease, for 12 long, weary years. You know, that's a long time to be suffering. 12 years. You know, when we come to the Word of God, we discover that you and I were born with a disease. And this disease is called sin. And I'm afraid that there may be some in the gospel meeting tonight, and you have been suffering this disease of sin a lot longer than this dear woman has been suffering this physical affliction. 12 years was a long time to be suffering from this disease, a physical disease. For the Bible makes it clear, and we have sought night after night to point out from the Word of God, when we come into this world by birth, we were born in sin. And just like this woman's disease, her disease would eventually end in death. And it's the same with this disease of sin. Just as we were born in sin, the Bible tells us and makes it so clear that the wages of sin is death. So we were all born in sin and all heading toward death. I want to ask you tonight, how long have you been putting up with this disease? You know, as I look down into this company, there are some that are young. I don't know you all by name. But I have no doubt as I look at you that some of you have been suffering 9, 10, maybe 12, 13 years with this disease. And yet there are others. And I'm afraid that you have been suffering a lot longer with this disease of sin than this woman ever suffered with this physical disease. But it's interesting in connection with this woman. It says she suffered many things of many physicians. This woman wasn't content just to suffer on and suffer on with this disease. Down in this woman's heart, there was a desire that there might be a cure found for her awful affliction. I have no doubt in my mind that this woman would awake in the morning. She would likely hope within her being, perhaps today, I'll find the right doctor who'll have the right cure for my disease. And day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year goes by, till 12 long, weary years have come and gone. She has tried every physician, and yet we read, she spent all that she had. She was nothing better, but rather grew worse. What have you been doing about your disease? Well, this woman wanted rid of hers. Let's be honest tonight. You're not answering to me. I was born a sinner just like you. But you must answer to God tonight. Because, my friend, sin is a real thing. Oh, that you would face the reality of your sin. And the end that is yours if you die in your sin. The Bible makes it clear that when you perish in your sin, the Lord Jesus said, where I am, ye cannot come. What about your sin? Have you faced it? Have you sought a cure? Many physicians. Well, this woman wanted a cure. I'm afraid that there may be some here tonight and you really haven't given too much thought about your sin. Not very much. There's a young woman babysat for my wife and I one time when our children were small. A girl we knew very well, but 16, 17 years old. It was New Year's. We'd gone out with a few other Christians for supper that evening. And she stayed over in our place. And I remember taking her home the next morning. She lived out on a farm with her parents. As we drove along the country road together, you know, dear Eunice, she just talked. Talked about her school. Different thing. Boy, she could talk about anything. When I figured we were halfway there, I thought it was my turn. It was the 1st of January. I said, tell me, Eunice, do you think this will be the year that you could see? There wasn't another word the rest of the way home. I couldn't get her to talk after that. You see, that's like most people today. They can talk about anything. Sports, they've got all kinds of things to say. Even religion.
But don't talk about your sin. Don't talk about your soul. People don't seem to have too much time for that. After all, I'm not too bad. I know people a lot worse off than I am. I'm not that great a sinner. My friend, God says you're a sinner. And unless you're born again, you'll never see heaven. Never. She tried many physicians. She's getting worse. Getting closer to death. Maybe there's some here tonight, and you're a lot closer to death than what you ever dreamed. You're going to pay the penalty against your sin. I want to spiritualize this passage a little bit. I want you to use your imagination a little bit. She tried many physicians. I want to take a look at some modern day physicians. Some that want to deal with this sin-sick soul. They want to give you a cure for it. For instance, we could go to a doctor with our disease of sin. I'm going to call him Dr. Atheist. And when I go in his office and I tell him, Doctor, I've just discovered I've got this disease of sin. Have you got a cure for me? Oh, well, now, he would tell you, oh, don't worry about that. You know, you just die. There's nothing after death. You don't need to worry about God. There is no God. No such a thing. I heard a definition for an atheist one time. I forgot it. That's a person that stands and shakes their fist at a God they don't believe in. That's about it. Well, she wouldn't come out of his office any happier. The Bible says, God says, the fool hath said in his heart, no God. There's no God. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Your own conscience tells you tonight there's a God with whom you have to do. You're going to need him. You know, there's another doctor going around today. This one makes house calls. He'd be glad to come to your home. Not too many doctors do that today. Matter of fact, he'll come without even being invited. He'll knock on your door. I want to call him Dr. Mohel. You ever had those at your door? I've had many of them. And you talk about sin and the punishment for sin. And they say, oh, no, no. There's no such a place called hell. A God of love would put a person in hell? Oh, no. No, our God is not like that. He loves everyone. And he'll take everyone to heaven. That's not what God says. God is love, but he's also a holy God. And he's a God who abhors sin. He abhors sin so much that he gave his son to die because of sin at Calvary. That's how much he hates it. He loves the sinner, but he hates their sin. And he must punish it. He must. Well, you wouldn't come out of that office feeling any better. And then there's Dr. Do-Better. Well, he'll try to make you feel a little better, and he'll tell you, well, try and live a better life. And try and do more good works. And if you haven't been attending church regular, try and go more often and make sure you tithe. Work at it. You know what God says? There's none that doeth good. None. No, not one. God says that.
None do. So no matter how hard I work at it, I still can't get past what God says. None that doeth good, no, not one. And a little bit of religion, and my good living, my high standards. Oh, what about all those? Oh, but he also said, there's none righteous. None righteous.
You see, his standards are holy. And we all fall far short. In other words, you just don't make it. All have sinned.
All have sinned.
And fallen far short of the glory of God. What have you been trying? She tried many positions. She's nothing better, but rather grew worse. Are you still in the pathway that leads to hell beneath tonight? Your little religion, your good living, good works, that's all you've got. That'll never fit you for heaven, never. You're like this woman, getting worse, getting closer, leaving time, going off into eternity without Christ. But then the Bible tells us, when she had heard of Jesus, thank God those words were ever written.
After she'd spent all that she had, no money left, and no cure, no hope for the future, and then she heard of Jesus. Well, I can almost picture this dear woman. I don't know how she got the word, but she's heard of Jesus. And within her springs up a hope, at last, at last.
Perhaps there is a cure. Thank God she heard of Jesus. My friend, have you heard of Jesus? I went down one of your streets today in Vancouver. I thought I'd do a little shopping and never reached the store. And there was two women standing holding little magazines. They must have thought I was a friendly kind of a fella. They tried to sell me a little magazine. I looked at the covers and it was all about AIDS and crime and everything else. She said, would you like to buy one? I said, I'd love to buy it if you had any good news. I don't need any more bad news. I need some good news. This woman received good news.
She heard of Jesus.
Two dear women tried to tell me, yes, we have good news.
You can be in the kingdom of God. I said, really? How can I get in?
Well, she said, how do you think?
I said, it doesn't matter what I think. But it matters what God says, and God says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter, nor can he see the kingdom of God.
Oh, she said, are you born again? I said, I am. There was a time I heard of Jesus.
Jesus.
My friend, when I accepted the Lord Jesus, I want to tell you, life was worth living. Worth living.
She heard of Jesus. She comes in that great crowd.
She touched his garments. Touched his garments. I am sure that likely this dear woman didn't know a lot about Jesus. You may not know a lot about the Bible tonight, but I'm convinced you knew two things. I'm sick, and He can heal me. That's all she needed to know. You know, the night I got saved as a lad, there was two things that I realized. I'm a sinner, and Christ died for me. That's all I needed to know.
Lying in my bed, with tears coming down my cheeks, realizing when it dawned upon me for the first time that Jesus died
for a sinner like me. I want to tell you, it was the best news I ever heard.
I drank it in that night.
And as a boy, I took the Lord Jesus to be my Savior. How about you tonight? Have you been to Jesus? This dear woman knew that she was healed. She slipped away as quietly as she came. You know, the Lord Jesus, He turns around and He says, "Who touched me?" I can see those disciples. "Well, look at the crowd that's thronging around you, and you're saying, 'Who touched you?'" Then it says He turned to see her. He knew all about her. He didn't turn to see who touched him. He turned to see her that had touched him. And that dear woman comes back, trembling, and falls at his feet, and she told him all the truth. All the truth. I wonder, could you come as a sinner tonight? Come to the one who died for you. Tell him all the truth. I'm just a guilty sinner. Not fit for heaven. Only fit for hell. Will you come tonight and tell him the truth? And then just to thank God that Jesus died for a sinner like me. You know, the Lord Jesus said to her, and it's interesting, He said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." You'll notice He didn't say, "Thy touch made thee whole." But thy faith hath made thee whole. You see, it's faith in Christ that saves. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. I don't know how people can be so gullible today. I remember when I worked at the Ford plant going home from a night shift, and I used to try and tune in the gospel preachers in the radio, and one night I got a dear man, and he claimed to heal thousands of people in one night, and he was going to take the shirt he was wearing and cut it into pieces, and if you sent $10, he'd send you a piece. You just hold it and pray and you'll be healed. What nonsense. Thy faith hath made thee whole. This dear woman, she came quietly and she touched what Matthew tells us was the hem of his garment. The hem. You know, I've watched my wife in the sewing machine. I know nothing about dressmaking, but I was interested in this little verse. Why the hem? She didn't know why I was watching her. I wanted to watch her do the hem. I watched her. And she took the material. what I call the extremity of the material. And she lifted it up. And she pierced it through with the needle. She lifted it up. Here's a dear woman. And she comes to the Lord Jesus and she touches the hem of his garment. And that dear woman touched the hem. She was touching a little picture of Calvary. Why, the Lord Jesus said, If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And to Nicodemus he could say, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In other words, he was telling Nicodemus, there's a day coming when cruel sinners would take him. They'd nail him to a cross. That cross would be lifted up. For those whose hearts were filled with hatred, gazing upon God's Son. As she touched the hem, the extremity was lifted up. And then that hem was pierced through with the needle. I want to tell you, those Roman soldiers took him and pierced his hands and his feet. And after he had suffered the penalty against sin, that a holy and righteous God meted out upon him what you and I should bear for eternal ages. He bowed his head and yielded up his spirit. There was a centurion that pierced his side. The scriptures tell us that forthwith flowed blood and water. They pierced his side. The Word of God tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. My friend, you can have every sin cleansed tonight. If you'll only do what this dear woman did in picture, touch the hem. Come to Calvary. Look upon the one who's lifted up. The one who was pierced. The one who suffered, bled, died. Will you not come to Christ tonight? She heard of Jesus. Nothing stopped her. As she made her way quietly through the crowd, touched the hem of his garment. Thank God the Lord Jesus could say, thy faith. Did she have a great faith? No. Little faith in a great God. My friend, will you come tonight and trust the Lord Jesus to be your